Welcome to the Mora Cirillo In-Home School of Prayer and Intercession. The following was recorded live, direct from the World Prayer Center, 2003 Mora Cirillo School of Prayer and Intercession. Join Mora Cirillo's guest, Cindy Jacobs, as she ministers on Transformational Intercession, Praying Your Dreams into Reality.
One reason that Satan has been able to do the things he's been able to do is the ignorance of the body of Christ. And this morning, as we were talking about healing nations, really, and bringing transformation and redemption of the land, we know that there's been a lot of ignorance. And because there's been a lot of ignorance, we have lived under curses God never intended us to live under, even though we're redeemed from the curse of the law, and that God wants us to set us free. And he's been taking advantage of us in some areas. But when the word of God comes, there is light that comes upon that area. Never again will we be defeated in that manner. Never again. Say never again.
Never again,
never again will be defeated. So we know that God has us here as a praying church and a transformational church. I was thinking this morning, the power of intercession, and I'm just going to share with you a little bit of a story from my book, Possessing the Gates, in the chapter called The Enforcers. It's very interesting because it's a story during World War II and Winston Churchill's time. When I was in London a little over a week ago, I went to the bunker where Winston Churchill directed the battle for World War II, there, the Battle of Britain. And it was just a fascinating place because, you know, as we have this ministry, Generals of Intercession, to see how the generals led that battle for that bunker, it was just wonderful. And there's so many amazing stories of miracles of prayer during World War II. So this story is about the Battle of Britain. And there was a time when they were being invaded from the Nazis in September 1940. And Churchill received reports that the invasion was impending from the air. And they only had 26 squadrons that rose up to oppose the Nazis. And the Nazis far, far outnumbered them. And the great Nazis' air battle came in, and all of their airplanes, and 85 of their aircraft downed and were down in flames, and they went in retreat. And no one could understand how that little pitiful and the natural group of RAF fighters could have turned away those Nazis. However, when they interviewed some of the Nazi pilots, They said, "Why did you turn back? Were there only two planes attacking?" "Two," exclaimed one pilot. "There were hundreds." Another German officer asked him in perplexity, "Where did you get all the planes you threw into the battle over Britain?" His British interrogators managed to mask their surprise. Actually, the powerful Nazi bomber force had been met by a mere handful of little outmoded RAF Spitfire and Hurricane fighters. There was no sky full of Royal Air Force planes. A Nazi intelligence officer captured still later came nearer to disclosing the divine source of the mirages which had confused the German pilots. "With the striking of your Big Ben clock each evening at 9, the Nazi told the British intelligence officer, "you used a secret weapon which we did not understand. It was very powerful and we could find no countermeasure against it." He was right. There was a powerful force set in motion each evening as Big Ben struck 9. It was the powerful force of a nation in heartfelt prayer, against which no countermeasure could hope to prevail, a nation in prayer to the omnipotent God of creation. Each evening as Big Ben on the clock tower of the Parliament building struck 9, the people of the British Isles and the far-flung English Commonwealth halted for the famous silent moment of prayer. History belongs to the intercessors, doesn't it? And prayer changes history. And we are called to be enforcers of God's will in the earth. And we are called to not just let things happen to our nations, but we are to be students of our nations. Not only are we to read God's word, but we are to read God's world in the light of his word. And anything that doesn't line up with this scripture, it is our job to see Matthew 6:10 come into play, where we pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on the earth as it is in heaven." Now, in heaven, there are only God's laws. Amen? And so, what is this saying? This is such a bold scripture, Matthew 6:10, that we are to pray the will of God be done in the earth as it is in heaven. One day I was praying what we call the Lord's Prayer, and I was praying that, and the Lord said to me, "You don't believe that." I was shocked. Hurt my feelings. You know, you pray this, but you don't believe that can really happen in your nation. You don't believe that my will can be done in every aspect of the society of your nation. You don't believe that it can be done in the schools. In fact, he really challenged me. He said, "You do not believe in the United States that there ever will be a time when there will be prayer in the name of Jesus at the beginning of the public schools, the classes in America. So therefore, you believe there's something impossible for me to do." Ooh, I was really rebuked. You see, what happens to us if, as we live in a certain nation, and particularly those who are, you live under ideologies that oppose, totally oppose Christianity, it's hard to believe it ever could change. Now, we have had a historical precedent that God is a God of nations so many times, even in many of our lifetimes. I remember when I prophesied and I said, "The Lord says the Berlin Wall is going to come down, and it will be taken apart brick by brick." Well, at that time, I could not imagine that happening. I got out from underneath the anointing, and I went home, and I thought, I cannot believe what I just prophesied. I couldn't believe it. I could not believe the word. Isn't that terrible? You know, I almost got in fear over it, because how could that Berlin Wall come down? Or how could God take a communism down? But God is waiting. Take communism now. God is waiting for intercessors who believe that he can do anything, that his will can really be done. And I want to encourage you. I've learned so much since those days. And, you know, sometimes we'll prophesy things beyond our faith level. That's part of what the prophetic gift will do. It'll stretch you. God will prophesy things over you that you almost can't believe for. It's so big. Remember in 1984, Prophet Dick Mills came to me and said, "You will have a worldwide ministry." You know, and I looked at him and I was kind of looking around going, "Who are you talking to?" You know, I mean, I had a worldwide ministry in Canada, in the U.S. You know, it was a worldwide ministry. But surely it has happened. You know, every year I preach on every inhabited continent. And mainly it's stadium meetings and large meetings and so forth. So God is changing a lot of things in my life. But I when it was said to me, it was so big, I almost couldn't grab it. So God wants to enlarge your faith. He wants to enlarge what you'll believe for. He wants to enlarge what you'll pray for. When I was in Argentina many years ago, I was preaching to about 1,000 pastors in 1991 in Mar del Plata, Argentina. And I began to prophesy over the city of Mar del Plata that God was going to close the main casino down on the strip, and he would use that for his glory, and the gambling tables of that casino would be thrown into the streets of the city. Well, you could hear where every stronghold of unbelief was in that group, you know, all these gasps. This American woman, she is crazy. You know, that casino had more than 1,000 employees. It's a large, large casino. And so how could that ever happen? How could that casino be used for the glory of God? And how could the gambling tables be thrown into the streets of the city? It seemed preposterous. But a man who's now a friend of mine, Omar Olier, was there. Omar pastors a church in Mar del Plata. He was 34 years old. He used to own a dry cleaning business, but he became a pastor, and he was a man of great faith. Well, Omar sat back there, and he said, "If anybody's going to make that happen, I am. My church is going to do it." So he took the word of the Lord, and he went to his intercessors, and he said, "I want you to go to the casino, and I want you to pray for 52 days for the walls to fall." 52 days. So these intercessors went for 52 days in a row. You know what? Sometimes we need to persevere. We need to learn to persist in prayer. We stop too soon and too easily, and we give up too easily. And so they prayed for 52 days. At the end of that time, they went back to their pastor, and he said, "Now go buy a ticket and go into the casino to pray." And he said, "I sent, you know, my grandmother intercessors." Never underestimate the power of a praying grandmother. Ooh, hell just shakes and gets nervous when those grandmothers get a hold of something. And so Anyway, so he said that they were standing in line waiting to go into that casino. He said they were shaking and they were going, Lord, I've never been into this den of iniquity in my life. The pastor told me to go in here. And so if you're going to strike anybody dead, get him. Don't get me. I'm innocent here. I'm just obeying my pastor. So he was laughing when he's telling me this later. So anyway, they went in and they started praying around those gambling tables, the word of the Lord. Lord, you said these gambling tables would be thrown into the streets of the city. And he said, at one point, a policeman came up to him and said, what are you doing? And his little grandmother said, oh, we're just praying. And the policeman just kind of patted him on the head and said, oh, what could little brain grandmas do? Right? Wrong! It was very misinformed. And so what happened was the casino started to lose money until finally they laid off 1,000 employees, and we believe for better jobs for them. And not only did that happen, but they finally closed the casino. And they closed the casino, and they stored the gambling tables in a certain room. And you know what happened? The gambling tables caught fire. And no, the Christians did not set the fire, okay? So they caught on fire. And when the firemen came, you know where they put those tables? That's right. They opened the windows and threw them into the streets of Martyr Plaza, just like the prophecy said. Now, what if that word had come, but no one prayed it into being? They'd be going, well, that Cindy Jacobs is a false prophet. She said that would happen. But I tell you what, we need to pray and pull the will of God into the earth realm. I mean, if God said something about your life, God wants it to come into being. You got to pull it from the spirit realm into the natural. You've got to learn how to war to do that and bring it in, to see the will of God done. Let me ask you, I am dreaming such big dreams. I ask God to give me prayers that I could never answer. You know, most people pray for things that they could think are feasible. But not me. I mean, I pray for wild things. I mean, I'm believing for such things to happen. I really am believing that in my lifetime that they will begin every public school morning in the United States praying in the name of Jesus and reading from the Bible. I'm committing my life to it. I'm dreaming for my grandson, Malachi, when he goes to school, they'll begin every morning with Our Father who art in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I believe that. Somebody's got to believe it. You know, in my lifetime, we prayed every morning in school and we read the Bible in school every morning in my lifetime. In living memory. I mean, I'm going to be 52 in August, so I'm not young, but I'm not real old. And so, I mean, if I can remember that, it can happen. So I am praying and giving my life for that. That's one thing for that. I am believing for whole Muslim nations to turn to Christ. You know, as I intercede for some of these nations like Northern Africa, Algeria, Western Sahara, they told me maybe there are 5 believers in Western Sahara. And I've been praying for Mauritania for years. And for years there were maybe 10 believers. Now I think there's 100-something believers. And I'm just crying out for these nations. I have visited those nations on my knees. And I am believing for the day there will be a sweeping revival of North Africa. And all of North Africa will come to Christ. You know, I tell somebody it's better to aim at something and aim at a giraffe than kill an ant. All right? I mean, if I'm going to aim, I'm going to aim high. And I figure sometimes if I only get half in my lifetime of what I'm dreaming for, it'll be good. Because I'm dreaming so big and I'm dreaming so enormous. And so today we're talking about transformation. So why am I saying some of these things to you? I'm saying some of these things to you because in order to see a whole nation transform, you're going to have to dream really big. And you're going to have to pray those dreams into reality. And there are some nations that, in the natural, it's harder. You've been born for such a time as this one. It's difficult. But I want to say to you, If God has caused you to be born in a nation that it's seemingly more difficult, God will give you more faith. God will give you anything you need. Because He's limitless in His capacity and His capabilities. And He's waiting for someone to believe that He is who He says He is. You cannot keep the I am out of any place or any situation. In this same chapter called The Enforcers, because my nose is being disobedient here, it's itching. In this same chapter called The Enforcers from Possessing the Gates, there's a story about women in Brazil who in 1961, the communists were trying to come in, and this women's group named themselves the Women's Democratic League. And they formed under the threat of a communist takeover of Brazil. And propagandists came from Cuba, Russia, and China. They began to work in Brazil, telling the people lies. These women went to war. They didn't only pray, they put feet to the prayers. They had meetings. And when the communists tried to come into Sao Paulo, Brazil, you know what they did? They telegraphed the communist headquarters, and they said, in Russian, they said, when you come in, hundreds of women will be lying across the airstrip, and you will not be able to land your plane. And they did. The communists came. The women were there singing, praying, and they refused to be moved. The plane swooped over them. They didn't move. They were steadfast, and the organizers never landed. Finally, one communist did come. The women packed the hall. And they prayed so loud and so fervently, the communist leader could not be heard above the din and left the nation in frustration. Spurred on by these brave women and other resistance groups, the Brazilian army and navy rose up and routed a communist attack with the leader slipping away in a night. God is looking for brave, courageous prayer warriors who will believe that God can totally change your nation, that are watchmen on the wall, that will look for your nation. You see, here in the United States in 1962, we were not watching. And the Supreme Court made a decision that took prayer out of school. In 1967, Bible reading was taken out of school because we were not being watchmen. So what has happened is, a whole generation has been lost in many ways. And we're suffering. Our young people are suffering. So many things have arisen since that time that we never had in this nation. So we are fighting the good fight of faith to see that the will of God is done on earth as it is in heaven. I'm going to present some principles to you about seeing the kingdom of God come in. Because what does a kingdom look like? A kingdom has a king, doesn't it? Don't we have a king? So actually, we live in a kingdom, don't we? And the kingdom has laws. And the laws are recorded in the Bible. So we don't force people. We don't kill people, you see. But the law of the land should be the law of the book. Many of our laws are. You know, we got our law in the United States from English common law, Blackstone's commentaries, and in fact we see that his commentaries affected the Declaration of Independence and many other documents that we have. And so anyway, I'm going to lay some transformational principles for you concerning seeing the kingdom come, because when the kingdom comes, it affects every aspect of society. Now, why do we want to pray in a transformational way? Because if we pray in a transformational way, then we're going to see whole nations opened up so people want to receive Jesus Christ. What is the battle? The battle is over souls, isn't it? And that is the primary battle. So every stronghold that hinders evangelization or hinders seeing God's will done in the earth, that is our enemy. Some people say, well, what is your end time eschatology? I don't know. I say I'm a pan-millennialist like my father. I believe it all pan out in the end, okay? I don't know if I'm pre-mid. I think I've held several positions. I could probably prove to you, you know, different positions in the end time. So, you know, I'm an intercessor. There's other people a lot smarter than me can figure that all out, and I hope you don't think that's a cop-out. But my point is there are millions of people bound under strongholds in the earth. And my job is to see the kingdom of God advance into every one of those nations and every stronghold that hinders that, that hinders world evangelization, has to come down. And I'm going to work on it and give my life till that happens. And so, you know, that's what I mean by the kingdom coming. I mean, I mean that God's will be done. Now, many times people think that Jesus is going to come to earth after the gospel of salvation is preached. And let's see what Scripture says. Matthew 24:14. I'm going to read this to you and see if I read it right. And this gospel of salvation will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Is that a true Scripture? That's not what it says. Sorry, I tricked you. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Gospel of salvation is just the first thing. You can go on and preach the gospel of salvation to unreached people groups, but there's still the ideologies that they live under and that they're martyred under, and it will not bring that release so the gospel can be presented to every person. What does the kingdom look like? A kingdom has God's laws. Let's look at, with Exodus 19, I want to present some other foundational, transformational scriptures. Because what true transformation is when we see God's will be done in the legal systems, in the the judicial systems, in the school systems, when we see God's word allowed free reign in every sector of society. There's many nations when I go to preach that the secret police will be out there, and any word I say wrong, they'll arrest me and take me to jail. Now, the gospel of the kingdom doesn't have free reign there, does it? No, I have to watch, you know, what I say, or I will cause everyone to be in prison. You know, I will say what God says. I won't be intimidated. But even so, so we want to see the will of God be done on the earth as it is in heaven. As I look at the United States, just using that for the people from other nations, because that's where I live, is that there are many things in the United States that are contrary to the will of God. There's still abortion on demand. You know, I talked about the prayer issue. There's many things in our media that displease the Lord in Hollywood, and we're praying fervently for these things. We're praying that Hollywood change. We have prayer groups in Hollywood that intercede for Hollywood. There was a certain television show called Buffy the Vampire Slayer that we took intercessors in, and we began to pray that that show would be canceled. Have you seen the news? It has been canceled. We went in and legislated in the heavens, and we forbade that show from being on the air anymore. And we're legislating over a bunch more. I want to tell you something. We want God's will to be done on the earth as it is in heaven. And it's not the will of God that we see all of this occult influence into our television. That displeases God, doesn't it? And so we don't want to see things happen or portrayed on our media that will bring the displeasure of God upon our nation. And so we're interceding, and we're praying, and we're standing for those things. We are fighting for the complete transformation of Hollywood. And I believe with all my heart that a day will come that there will be a revival at MTV. You know what MTV is? Now, some of you don't have faith for MTV, but I have faith for MTV. You know, and I know some Christian artists that are dedicated to go in, and they're dedicated to changing MTV. What about BET? Black Entertainment Television. I tell you what, God is going to move in these entertainment networks. And so, but we have got to believe for it. You see, some of you have not been even interceding for the television networks, but you complain about them all the time. Ooh, ooh, ooh. I told somebody the other day, I'm a very strange, weird prophet, you know, because I'm mixed between a Rottweiler and a St. Bernard. You know, when I get in, I start prophesying, man, that's the Rottweiler. And then anointing, you know, for that, I'm kicking to this mercy thing. I'm mercy motivated, you know. And I go, oh, are you okay? Did you understand, you know? And so I heal them from the word, you know. But you know, sometimes you've got to just stand up in there. I tell you what, we've got to spend at least as much time interceding as we do complaining. That was a revelation. Okay, Exodus 19:5-6. Now, therefore, If you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. So there is a connection being God's chosen, and we know that we're the seed of Abraham, and a connection to being chosen, obeying the voice, to becoming a special treasure in all the earth. Verse 6, and you shall be to me a kingdom. What's it say? A kingdom? A kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. What was the audience for this? In other words, who were being addressed? Who was this promise given to? Was this the children of Israel? But what condition were they in? They were ex-slaves, right? 400 years of no paycheck. They didn't have laws. They didn't have a government. They didn't have the ability to govern themselves. They had a slave mentality. And God is saying to this people, I'm going to make you a nation. I'm going to make you a holy nation. And then in the book of Deuteronomy, God told them how to have a judicial system, how to have health care. He literally set up a government for them. And when they functioned as a nation, they went in and possessed the promised land. I want to say something to you. If we are indeed people of a kingdom and we're a holy nation, when are we going to function as one? God brought the people, these people that 400 years of engraved slavery, and he said, there are people that are not a people, but I'm going to make them a people. So part of my intercession, if you want to see transformation, it's going to have to go to the societal level. Every true revival has affected society. We look at the Welsh revival. You've probably read some of the stories about the Welsh revival where the bars shut down. And there were so many people that got saved that went into the coal mines that they changed their whole language. And the donkeys, you know, that used to lead the carts in the coal mines no longer work because they were used to being cursed at. And they didn't work except with curse words. So they had to retrain the donkeys because the men didn't curse anymore because they got saved. Now that's a revival. So all of you nations, you know, that we have here, all of these nations, the Lord wants you to dream. By the way, I know somebody from Zimbabwe is watching. I had a word in January Mugabe would meet his demise, and he will. God's going to shift the government of Zimbabwe. You keep praying that word there. And so anyway, I want to say to you that when you dream, God wants you to shift paradigms. He wants you to shift the way you dream. He wants you to shift the way you pray. Whatever doesn't line up with the word of God in your community, as a watchman on the wall, part of your responsibility is to see that part of society does line up, and different of you will be given prayer and to watch over different aspects. Here we're just on the verge of a great revival. We call, a marketplace revival, business person's revival. And many churches will start businesses, and many people will begin, God will begin to use them as society. I've been prophesying for years about this coming revival where there's going to be prayer groups in major corporations such as IBM, Apple. I prophesied over General Motors when I was in Detroit, Michigan. I didn't even know that they would have a great revival. I didn't even know that I was in the building owned by GM. When I prophesied this, it was a big Renaissance hotel, and that they were having a meeting on another floor of a General Motors meeting. But they came up to me afterwards, and people that were affiliated with General Motors, and said, Cindy, do you know that our marketing has hired Michael W. Smith and Max Lucado to go do celebrations of praise as part of our marketing strategy? Transformational. And you see, many times, Satan puts you in a box. And he says, you can believe for this, but no more. But righteousness exalts a nation. And so we have got to look at God's world and say, look, we're a holy nation. You know, we hardly function in unity in churches, in a denomination. But the Lord says something bigger. He says, I want you to be a nation. Amen. What would happen if we truly function as nations? Well, we would be the ones that built the hospitals. You know, historically, it is the churches and the believers that build hospitals and nations. Do you know that? In England in the 1800s, in the Great Revival there, there was a great volunteer move of God in the hospitals, and they helped change the hospitals of England. I mean, if you're going to dream and you're going to pray and you're really going to be the head and not the tail, you really become a holy nation, ask God, what is my part to intercede for that I will transform? I have a friend named Harold Ray, and he lives in West Palm Beach. And he's African-American. And he has a whole network for feeding the poor that is huge. And he's going buying all these commercial buildings. I mean, they're buying it with nothing down and closing on these huge buildings. And he really believes that we can become a holy nation. And God is trying to work in us to take this slave mentality out of us. Many times, we have not tried to transform our society. We have tried to survive in the midst of society. And so we fight city government and we fight all this. No, we should be the city government. I'm scaring you now. You see, when you have a true revival and we pray and we cry out to the Lord, and revival hits universities, and revival hits all these major campuses, the science departments and the media departments and all that, you're not going to be concerned about what they're going to teach. They're going to teach the Word of God. It's not by legislation in the natural, it's by legislation in the heavens. Can you believe for a nation that is so transformed? I am dreaming of people that will pray and believe there are no limits to God. I'm believing that there are people that will cry out to the Lord and stand and believe that they can truly become a holy nation. You know, there's times that something happens in my life and the Lord says to me, Cindy, you have that old slave mentality. You just really think that I can't do this. Sometimes I have to fast for myself. Are you with me?
Yes.
To break down old strongholds of my thinking. That limits God. You know, one day God said to me, you're not waiting on me, I'm waiting on you. God wants us to transform nations. He wants us to become a holy nation. I know that there are some nations under grandma hold of this. You know, when I was in Indonesia, the theme of the conference, when we had those 11,000, they closed the conference at 11,000 leaders from 350 cities. They just had done a no more violence fasting campaign for 40 days to bind the spirit of violence over Indonesia. You see, they took that seriously. I was in my friend's church, Harold Caballeros in Guatemala. And Harold is on the transformations video. Have any of you seen the transformations video? If you haven't, you need to get a hold of that. And Harold is on that video. And I began to prophesy over Guatemala an alarming thing. And the prophetic word was this. The word was that the guerrillas were forming a pact, a covenant in the mountains. They were going to try to come down from the mountains into Guatemala City and take it over. But they had 2 years before this was going to happen, before they would try to come down into the city. And the communists would try to take over. But if they would go into all these villages where the communists were trying to come and feed the poor, when the communists came, they'd say, we don't need you, we have Jesus Christ. So I told Harold's wife, Cecilia, you take care of that. You make that happen. So this is the role of intercession and transformational intercession. She got on her face and she began to cry out to God, God, show me what it takes to feed the poor in that area. Show me what it takes to transform that area. She won that battle in the heavens. And then she called the apostles' wives of large churches. They have churches, 10,000, very big churches. And got together. And then they got on their face. And they took that word of the Lord. And they said, Lord, you said we have 2 years. So how do we do this? And what do we do? And how do we transform this nation? And how do we feed the villages, village people, particularly in the mountains? And then they divided up the nation. This church took this part, this church this part, and so forth. And Harold and Cecily's church, Cecilia's, El Shaddai, they went back to their church, and they began to intercede more. And the Lord showed them they were to find out where the roles and the skills of every person in their church. They found out where the doctors were. They found out where the architects were. They found out where the agricultural specialists were, where the engineers were. They have a church of 10,000 plus. And so they went and they found out what they had. And then they began to pray some more. You see, this is transformational. You pray and you do. Okay, you act like a nation. They all of a sudden became a holy nation in Guatemala. And they took responsibility for their nation. And they said, we are going to see those communists never come into Guatemala. They can't take over. So Cecilia's church, after they found out all these different people and what they could do, they chose a village high in the mountains. The village didn't have running water, didn't have electricity. They didn't even know what a carrot was. And so they went, and first they broadcast over their radio that they were coming to that area. And let me take one step backwards just to explain transformation with you, because I think it's such a fabulous story about this church. When I was in Guatemala in 1990, I prophesied that Harold Caballero's church would help take the nation through media and education. So he said, okay, media, what do I do? So he began to buy radio towers. Now, it's illegal for any more radio towers to be put up in Guatemala. But there's 22 states in Guatemala. So he sent intercessors to every state in Guatemala to pray and to cry out to God to open the heavens so he could put up radio towers. And he began to buy these towers and store them. In fact, his house burned down, and he took the insurance money and bought more radio towers. Oh, God gave him a pretty house, too, after that. It was a miracle. Anyway, but so he began to do this. And finally, they prayed and prayed, and the laws changed that they could put up more radio towers. So they put up a radio tower in all 22 districts of the country. The laws changed again that no more towers could go up and they controlled the airwaves. Hey, transformational intercession. And so, all right, so they had these radio towers so they could broadcast the news. So they went to this area and gathered with any of the pastors that could come. And they presented the plan to them, and the pastors signed on. So what they did was they took solar panels to this area. And they set up the solar panels so they could begin to work. They took the Jesus film. See, then they could have generators. They took they used generators. They showed the Jesus film. This one village had 37 families. 35 of the 37 families came to Christ. Okay? The next thing they did was they sent in their agricultural specialists to study the land to find out what could grow there. Then they had their architectural engineer study on how to build housing from what was there in that area. You know, I don't know if they brought in anything also, but they developed a house that was passive solar. And this house had water that was boiling in the kitchen at all times, and it had indoor toilets. And when the waste of the toilets would go down, and the water from the kitchen would flush through this toilet and wash the waste around the house. So they had sweet drinking water. They had sanitation. It was very cold in those mountains, so they made pipes through the children's bedrooms so the hot water would go through the children's bedroom so they had heating. And they tell me by the end of this year, every one of those 37 families in that village will have a home. Transformational. The will of God being done on earth as it is in heaven. And then they needed some kind of livelihood. So they found out that these people made bamboo products. And they made beautiful bamboo products and bamboo furniture. So now they have found out how to get German tourists to take ecological tours to these people's village and buy their bamboo products so they have a livelihood. Hallelujah. I mean, that is an amazing story. Now, let me tell you, the creme de la creme. The communists did come. The Cubans sent medical doctors into that village. You know what they told those communists? They pointed their fingers at them and said, "We don't need you. We have Jesus Christ." Just like the Word. Just like the Word. So the Lord wants us to come to a place where we learn to be fervent, where we learn to cry out, where we are persistent in our prayers. You see, we've got to be in this for the long haul. We have got to decide that we are, I said earlier, those territorial spirits. We are called of God into a certain area, in a certain piece of land. And then we're going to fight, and we're going to pray, and we're going to stand until we transform. If there's violence, there will be a day. Violence will no longer be heard in the land. I was thinking, let's talk about big dreams. I was dreaming of the day in East Los Angeles where a grandmother could walk her dog at midnight down the streets and not be assaulted. And it'd be as safe as midday. In order to see transformation, we have to have fervent transformational intercession, which means 24-hour intercession. And one day I was asking the Lord, and I said to the Lord, "Why do we have to pray all night?" You know, he probably gets tired of me. I'm always asking questions. Why do we have to pray all night? Why can't we just pray in the daytime? You know, sleep at night, pray in the day. And he said, "Because the devil never rests. And he thinks he owns the night. But I created the night and I called it good and it's mine and I want it back." Oh, I mean, I thought, well, that makes sense. You know, God is very logical, and He is so smart. Did you notice how smart God is? He is very smart. And so, anyway, I was thinking about this. You're never going to take your nation without 24-hour intercession. You're never going to take your nation without fervent prayer. Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray for ideas, dreams, and revelation on how to become a holy nation. Father, I declare that there will be a commitment to transformational intercession. That you're going to right now begin to explode inside the people in these 47 countries and those listening here. That their nation can be changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. Father, we pray for prophetic intercessors, those that can get a word of the Lord and understand from this word of the Lord, they can change a nation. Father, we thank you, Lord, that we are going to stand in a place where we understand that you can do anything. And Father, I pray right now for large, big prayers. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, Father, we're going to get that slave mentality out of us. Father, we're going to get that out of us, that we're coming out of Egypt. And then we're understanding that we are meant to possess the land, that we are meant to possess the gates of our enemies. And Father God, we thank you for that in the name of Jesus. Now, Lord, let faith arise. Let the gifts of faith come into play. And all the people said, amen. God bless you.
For more information regarding Morris Cirillo Ministries or to order books and tapes, in the U.S., write to Morris Cirillo, P.O. Box 85277, San Diego, California, 92186. In Canada, write to Morris Cirillo, P.O. Box 3600, Concord, Ontario, L4K1B6. In Great Britain, write to P.O. Box 277, Hemel Hempstead Hearts, HP27DH. You may visit our website at www.mcwe.com and email us at morriscirillo@mcwe.com. Be sure to register for the 33rd Annual 2004 Morris Cirillo World Conference in Orlando, Florida, January 2nd through the 4th at the Walt Disney World Swan and Dolphin. For more information, call 858-277-2200, extension 2105. Watch your mail for the next ministry letter containing the next key to victory. You won't want to miss as Morris Cirillo presents Mike Zeno ministering on a message entitled Praying in the Heavenlies, Tapping God's Power Within You, direct from the World Prayer Center during the Morris Cirillo School of Prayer and Intercession.